Go right ahead.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of Curie Beach. This is the regular Curie Beach Town Council meeting of December 19th. And we will start with the invocation. Commissioner Ellen, would you please read?
Please join me in prayer. Holy Father, we ask your blessings on the people who are here with us today, and particularly those that have been called to lead the community in which we live, work, and play. Help us as leaders not ask first, how do we fix this, but what do we need to learn? How might we need to change? And to whom do we need to listen? Remind us, because we all forget from time to time, especially in this noisiness of what passes for political debate today, that we are not only leaders but also servants, and that is our responsibility to serve the common good of all. Grant us the wisdom and courage to know and to do what is right and good and true. May we speak out when it is time to speak out, and listen patiently and receptively when it is time to listen. May we always be guided by the spirit of community, the spirit of justice, and the spirit of love. This we pray in the name of all that we hold sacred and holy, and that we hold good and right and true. Amen.
Amen. Join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, gentlemen of the council, first order of business is approval of the consent agenda items or any changes to the consent agenda. I would like to propose at least one change to the consent agenda. I would like to remove 3.5, approve the full year revised fee schedule, and I would like to remove the project management services agreement with FDB Consulting.
Make a motion we approve the consent agenda with the changes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. The rest of the items on the consent agenda are then approved. Adaption of the regular agenda. Are there any changes suggested by the council for the regular agenda items that were posted prior to the meeting?
So I'd like to add the revised fee schedule for the meter box to, I guess, new business.
Okay.
That was 3.5 in the consent agenda.
Okay. So you want to move it to 10.5?
Yes, sir.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. We will move the that payment process to 10.5.
I have no other changes, sir.
Okay.
Where do you want to add the service
project
agreement?
Management.
Yeah, the project management.
The project management agreement, we're going to push that into next month.
Oh, just we'll wait. We're not going to discuss it tonight.
We're not going to discuss
it
tonight.
And I make a motion to approve the agenda as modified.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Approved. All right, so let's move on to the public comment portion of the meeting. For the public comment portion of the meeting, it is important that you understand that these are 3-minute segments. You have the opportunity to address council for 3 minutes. We are here to listen. During the meeting, we only have 3 minutes per individual. You may schedule time with any one of us at any time to come in and spend the time you want to put forward more major ideas. I look at people in this room and I see people who have done that, and I just want you to know this 3 minutes is not a slight of an opinion. It is what the rules are for addressing council at this portion of the meeting. So with that, the first individual, and we do time it so that we're not all here all evening sometimes. Tonight, the first speaker is Wick. Don't forget to state your address. State your full name and address, Wick.
William Wickliffe, 417 North 4th Avenue. Hopefully I won't be any longer than 3 minutes. A recent report from the Sports and Fitness Industry Association found that pickleball, which is, quote, the fastest growing sport in America, has attracted 4.8 million players nationwide. That's a 40% increase since 2020. All you have to do is Google pickleball and you'll see the number of hits showing the rise in players. We will assume that all this data is correct because everybody knows you can put anything on the web. Locally on any given day, there are up to 30 people waiting to play in Curry Beach on 3 to 5 courts, outdoor courts. And a lot of them are here today. At the same time, there are up to 20 people waiting to play in Carolina Beach on 4 outdoor courts. So in Florida, there's a company that is proceeding with building 15 indoor pickleball facilities, each with about 16 courts. They're investing $180 million. So this gives you kind of the idea of the of what's going on with this this sport. Wilmington recently converted Arrowhead tennis courts to permanent pickleball courts. They did a survey, and pickleball was the number one request among the community. The proposal notes that Wilmington has the capacity to accommodate more courts. The city currently has 10 shared tennis pickleball courts and 6 designed exclusively for pickleball. One of the biggest barriers, obviously, in establishing new courts is the high cost of land in this county. There's not a whole lot of it, especially in this town. But we have land, an unused baseball field. And what you see here is my crude rendition of what this could look like. And, I always go, since I'm in a ballpark, I'm going to try to hit a home run and built for 12 courts. And you can see that they fit within the confines of this, including space in here for congregation. Pickleball is very much of a social sport. A lot of people use it networking for their businesses. So this is all part of it. Also, and I know this was discussed last month, but it didn't really show up on there. But up at the top, there's a public bathroom also. I'm not here to advocate for the. There it is.
Well, we do, Wick. We are at 3 minutes. So okay. What I would offer you is that please make sure we get a copy of this. And we've had quite a few meetings already with the folks from pickleball.
And
that we'll be starting to discuss it as we come into the budget meetings in January. But thank you.
Paddles up.
Thank you, Rick. Max Fry. Please state your full name and address, Max.
Max Fry, 313 Severs Lane.
Okay, sir.
This is a letter I've addressed to the board, and I'll leave a copy here. And you have 2 photographs of the fire lane looking over my back fence. Mm-hmm. Right. Gentlemen, I wish to express my concerns regarding the proposed drainage and greenway projects on federal property behind my house in Severs Lane. Attached 2 photos of flooded area behind my home taken on February 8th 2021. The water's deep enough to float a canoe, and yes, I was in a canoe club years ago, and it would do it. And extends well, that lake extended it, well into the properties adjacent to my house. I've tried to get information on the drainage project here at the office and also down at maintenance, and I got nothing. But unless that particular area is drained, you can forget about putting a path in there, a recreational corridor, because that's what it looks like. I'm also in opposition to construction of the Greenway for the following reasons. I moved here in 2015. And I'm planning to be a permanent resident as long as I don't have to go to the home. So, anyway, I chose to build my home at its current location where I could enjoy unrestricted views of Mother Nature, including the birds, the deer, occasional coyote. In my elder years, and if I make it till March, I'll be 88, I thought that... But, you know, as I've gotten older, I find that there's peaceful serenity of the sound of the sounds of nature and the visual picture I see when I look out the back door. And that nature of what I have now would be impacted and diminished by activity on the Greenway. And I say, on behalf of those of us who chose this location for the reasons I've expressed, I strongly request that the council rejects the Greenway proposal. Respectfully, yours, Max Marfan.
Okay. Thank you very much, Max. Incidentally, we do have information. We do have information on that drainage project, which you can come in and speak to any of us about.
Max plays
pickleball. Yes. Okay, next would be Roy Irwin. Name and address, please.
Hi, my name is Roy Irwin. I live at 301 Settlers Lane. Thank you for your time. I see in the agenda Mr. Oliver wants town council to bless his attendance at a stakeholders meeting regarding the Great State Trails Plan. We'd like to know who's requesting his attendance. Is it the residents of Kiri Beach, the Great Trails State Plan, the Bike Ped Committee, or WMPO? I'm sure if you ask the residents of the 62 homes who live along the fire lane in Kiri Beach, they wouldn't want his attendance. Perhaps the folks who live on Davis Road would be opposed also. I hope you remember who you represent. This needs to stop. The focus should be on quality of life for all the residents. When the Bike Ped Committee presented their master plan at the community center, several of my neighbors and I were advising the chair of that committee, Bo Lindquist, about our concerns regarding privacy, safety, security, and the impact on nature. She said, or she told us, she didn't care. That's right, she didn't care. Well, we care. I hope you care. We found talking to this committee falls on deaf ears. Is this the attitude you want on the chair of the committee to display in a public input session? I hope not. It's quite obvious they don't care about our concerns. This group has caused so much discontent in Kiri Beach in the past few months. First it was the boardwalk fiasco, and now this. I feel this is a good time to appoint another chair to this committee. One that will listen and address the concerns of the residents and not outside interests. A lot of time and money could have been saved. We want our voices heard, and that's why we come to you. The Greenway extension was voted down unanimously by the last town council for various reasons. I believe the fire and police departments had valid concerns also. That hasn't changed. The only two things that has changed are the increased costs to the town and the town council members. It wasn't feasible then, it's not feasible now. Why is this being rehashed again? If you vote to allow the study to continue, I hope you can address our concerns with us tonight. It is very nerve-wracking to have this brought up over and over and over again. I don't understand why anyone would want to jeopardize our way of life for something that's not needed. Thank you.
Barbara Irwin. Barbara Irwin. Please state your name and your address.
Barbara Irwin, 301 Settlers Lane.
Okay.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to me tonight, and good evening. Here we go again. The Biped Committee wants to do a feasibility study on ramming this greenway behind Settlers Lane. Town Council unanimously voted this project down before. Why are they allowed to continue to show this route on their master plan? This needs to stop. You do not know how upsetting this is to the residents that will be affected. Nothing has changed since then except for Town Council and Bike Pedestrian Committee members. We still have the same concerns as before. Cost, security, wetlands, fire hazards, privacy, and impact on nature are still issues that exist. Has any of this changed? No, except for building cost. I am asking Town Council to deny the Bike Pedestrian Committee's request to do a feasibility study. It wasn't feasible then, and it's not feasible now. If you vote to allow this study, I hope you can explain what has changed and explain to the residents of Settlers Lane why are you in favor in destroying our security, privacy, and safety? We are sick and tired of worrying about this every other year. You need to stop this nonsense now. If our streets aren't safe to ride or walk, please show us the data. I ride my bike all over Curry and Carolina Beach, and the only issues I have are stones and sand in the bike lanes along Fort Fisher Boulevard, Lake Park Drive, and Carolina Beach North. The greenway in Carolina Beach doesn't affect the number of homes as it would in Curry Beach. Please stop this insanity for once and all.
Judy. Name and address, Judy.
Hi, my name is Judy Larrick. I'm a 25-year resident at 645 Settlers Lane. This is not my first rodeo on this subject. Here we go again. Discussing the so-called greenway bike path in the fire lane behind homes on Settlers. After prior failed efforts in 2004, 8, 10, 15, and 20. Today, Mr. Hagler is the only commissioner, councilman, who has been involved in all those discussions, including council unanimous vote, no vote, on this path in 2004. The Curry Beach Police and Fire Departments also were against this bike path. Today, the Bike Path Committee is proposing a feasibility study on this continuing saga. But I refer you to former Councilman Joseph Whitley's public letter of 2020 detailing all the reasons why the fire lane is not a feasible location. Environmental, wetland, wildlife displacement, town drainage plans, old down buried saline pipes, and enormous cost. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Plus many residents' loss of privacy, access to homes, crime potential, increased fire risk, etc. All these reasons are still true today. Plus I remind you that in Carolina Beach, they in fact moved the location of their own greenway from behind Carolina Sands further back because of residents' concerns. But in fact, today, our Settlers Lane homes are even more vulnerable due to Matsu's recent clearing last year behind our homes east of the fire lane. For the first time ever, I've lived here 25 years, of most of the trees, vegetation, because of the town's concern for fire risk. Today, there is no vegetation buffer at all between many of the yards and the fire lane. And shouldn't the town's concern for fire risk be at odds with a fenced bike path in the fire lane, which negates the purpose? How about fire department's ability to function within a fenced area? I'm asking, pleading the council to not agree to a feasibility study in the fire lane, but instead authorize a feasibility study for a separate off-road path along Dow right away. The committee considers the fire lane the only option due to Matsu blast zone, but all Matsu land is considered blast zone. A separated off-road path along Dow Road has always been our residents' best, cheapest option, which connects to Carolina Beach, KB Park, shopping, least environmental and wildlife impact, and doesn't impact anyone's homes. All of Wilmington's bike paths have been added as off-road lanes besides major highways. Curie Beach should do the same. Residents along Settlers purchased our homes knowing that the Matsu land could not and would not be developed. These attempts to continuously put a public access path behind our properties is a violation of that covenant. Many people refer to the
Judy, excuse me, we've hit the 3 minutes.
I got three sentences.
Go ahead.
They refer to us as NIMBYs, not my backyard. But what I would say to you is we're NIMBYs, not in no one's backyard. How many of you would agree that to allow strangers to be walking around your backyards day or night? Ridiculous, scary, you say? Well, that's how we feel. It's time to put an end to this 20-year ongoing saga once and for all. It's time to care about the concerns of residents most affected by this invasion of property.
Okay, Judy, thank you. Judy, thank you for a recommended solution as well. Thank you for a recommended solution as well.
And I know I'm past my 3 minutes, but that solution back in 2004, we pleaded and begged back then, and they were paving Dow Road at the time.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, moving on to presentations.
The first
two read.
Okay,
I have eight
to read.
Oh, you have eight to read.
There you go.
This is from Debbie Price at 773 Settlers Lane. I do care. This subject was discussed in depth several years ago, as you know. At that time, a completely separated bike path running along Dow Road was highly recommended. It would be similar to the path along Old Dow Road in the State Park. I think it continues to be the best option for Curie Beach. Any future studies should certainly consider the option along with any others. Here are a few of my continuing concerns. Number one, fighting a fire from the east side of the proposed fence is scary. Would an additional accessible fire lane be required on the west side of this fence? Continued removal of vegetation and displacement of wildlife. More pavement and runoff. Three, the path along the proposed greenway would be long with limited ingress, egress for both people and wildlife, unlit and unmonitored 24/7. Privacy and safety for all, access to properties, my back porch where I spend many hours with my animals is approximately 70 open feet from the center of the current fire lane. I will be uncomfortable leaving my property for any extended time. Five, litter and pollution, including noise from users and dogs with resident dogs along the way that bark at anything that moves near their home. I have owned property on the west side of Settlers since 2001. It was purchased at a higher price specifically for privacy, aesthetics of woodlands and its inhabitants. No greenway in anyone's backyard. I do care. The next one is from Rob and Liz Johnson, 741 Settlers Lane. Dear Curie Beach Town Council, my wife and I are new residents and homeowners in the town of Curie Beach and longtime appreciators of all that Curie Beach uniquely offers. We live at 741 Settlers Lane and are opposed to the building of a bike path walking trail behind our property. Quoting Ayan Rand, we are fast approaching the stage of the ultimate inversion, the stage where the government is free to do anything it pleases while the citizens may act only by permission, which is the stage of the darkest periods of human history, the stage of rule by brute force. My father-in-law, John R. Spencer, Jr., built 741 Settlers Lane House in 1993-1994. He and his wife were one of the founding homeowners on this part of the island. They loved Curie Beach, inviting us to visit as often as we could and grow to love the beauty in nature by wood or by ocean. He and his wife, Ardeth, paid a premium for the property that we just purchased that is and always has been located next to federally protected land. While it is admittedly furthest from the beach, the value is greatest aside from the beachfront in Curie Beach Village. There are 62 other homes built along the Sunny Point federal property that are provided the same privacy and closeness to the beach and has been protected by the federal government. An appeal to change anything that is currently in place puts a new public path in view behind these homes, eliminating all of their long appreciated unique qualities. This proposed project would completely change the description of all 62 properties in Curie Beach, significantly devaluing them and lacking any kind of homeowner's agreement, approval, or compensation for such destruction. The last thing this beautifully preserved wooded area of the islands needs is another strip of asphalt fenced in with chain link fencing. An isolated biking walking trail introduces additional risks that our children and families should not have to be subject to. Young children are vulnerable and we shouldn't wait until something happens due to our lack of diligence in protecting them. A separate trail moving runners, joggers, walkers, and bicyclers to an isolated place, only semi-public common space where it would not be adequately policed and monitored by our public servants, is irresponsible. K Avenue is a heavily traveled road that presents multiple vehicles moving at much faster speeds, just beginning to reduce to slower and slower speeds, not necessarily anticipating pedestrians and bicycles dumping out into the street. Trail traffic emptying out into K Avenue at Dow Road introduces numerous critical decision points where unsafe driving practices conflict with the residential street activity that is much safer away from the highway traffic. Introducing public safety hazards does not protect children. Isolating children from public residential street areas does not protect them. The connector between Spot and Settlers Lane protects trail pedestrians because that connecting point dumps out at a road that has long maintained low speed limit, not 55.
Andy, go to the next letter.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. The next one is Lisa Lepa, 309 Settlers Lane, extension of Greenway. From its inception, the Bike Ped Committee has maintained the myopic goal of its founder and chair, Mo Lindquist, to establish an extension of the Carolina Beach Greenway through the town of Curie Beach, specifically through Matsu property behind Settlers Lane and thus through the firebreak. Also, since its inception, the committee has admittedly ignored, dismissed any opposing views. For example, at a meeting at the community center, myself and at least seven of my neighbors were told by Mo that she did not care what we wanted. She stated she only cared about the children. When we attempted to discuss it further with her, she turned her back and walked away. I don't think anyone would argue against the safety of children. However, I think it's unconscionable that the chair of a civic-minded committee flat out states she does not care what others think and refuses to entertain any opinion rather than her own. Is this attitude condoned by the town council? Many of us on Settlers Lane have had the same concerns. The requirement of a fence will impede the fire department should, heaven forbid, the need arise. Does KDPD have the manpower to ensure the safety of those utilizing the Greenway as well as the residents directly abutting the Greenway? The word Greenway is a misnomer when the very idea is to destroy the environment to lay down an asphalt runway. Environmental destruction has a huge impact on wildlife. KB is a bird sanctuary and the Matsu property behind Settlers Lane is protected wetlands. How can the town even consider the feasibility of this Greenway extension? How can Matsu? Lastly, the town has hired a consultant at $100 per hour for up to 25 hours to write a grant to obtain money for a feasibility study. It appears that the cart is leading the horse. The next one is an email from Michael and Pat Velukalik at 321 Settlers Lane. They found this on their doorstep last weekend and feel it's a good representation on the community's feelings on the proposed bike ped trail in the Sunny Point buffer zone. FYI, the Curie Beach Bicycle Pedestrian Committee is currently trying to extend the greenway behind our homes. Their master plan currently shows the proposed extension running down the fire lane from K Avenue and connecting to the existing greenway at Alabama Avenue. When they unveiled their master plan at the community center, many residents in Beach Walk advised the chair of the committee, Mo Lindquist, of our concerns about safety, privacy, security, and the impact on nature. She stated she didn't care. That's right, she stated she didn't care. She stated only that she only cared for the safety of children. This was supposed to be a meeting to get public input. We found trying to talk to them is a waste of time. They are bound and determined to run this through town council without any resident input. We were informed at the last Bikehead meeting that Matsu, at Sunny Point, has agreed to let this committee do a feasibility study. This project will be paid for with grant money. There is a lot of grant money available for these types of projects. Matsu stated this doesn't mean they would agree to it. From what we can understand, the paved path would have to be close to our property lines due to the blast zone. A tall chain link fence will have to be installed on the west side of the fire lane. The Bikehead committee will be asking town council to bless this feasibility study at the next meeting. In the past, the fire and police departments were against the Springway extension. A tall fence will impede the fire department to actually fight a fire if there was one. I'm sure the police have the same concerns as before. Town council unanimously voted this project down when it was brought to them years ago. The town of Curie Beach has just received lease on the fire lane property from the ditch behind town hall and extend 1,000 feet north to install a pipe. This pipe will drain the water runoff from Matsu property that is currently flowing on the settlers' lane during storms. One requirement of the lease is Curie Beach must install 1,000 foot of fencing on the west side of the fire lane. We feel the Bikehead Committee believes this provided them an opportunity to push through this project again. There are only 5 homes along the greenway that runs next to it in Carolina Beach. 2 of them were built after the greenway was installed, and I think the other 3 are in a well-lit area. The proposed greenway will impact 62 homes along Settlers Lane. And then it just talks about if you're opposed, who to contact. The next letter is from the same couple. That's just what they found on their doorstep. Do you want me to proceed with that one?
Same couple that just... That you just
letter,
read.
Mm-hmm, that I just read, that's one they found on their doorstep.
Well, there was about 1:10 left for them, so go ahead.
Okay. Please accept this as our opposition to a Pleasure Island bike pedestrian greenway location within Sunny Point buffer zone, directly adjacent to our property on Settlers Lane. The only location which should be considered by the town would be the location directly adjacent to Dow Road, which has wide right-of-ways and would be much less costly to construct. The following provides concerns of ours and other residents to a possible route location of a multi-use path proposed for the Matsu Sunny Point buffer zone outside of the western town limit of Curie Beach. This proposal may call for a 10-foot wide paved multi-use paved path that would extend over most of the existing fire break, separating the towns of Carolina Beach and Curie Beach from property owned by the federal government, including the Fort Fisher Air Force Recreation Area. This potential path is not parallel or adjacent to Dow Road, where it should be located, which may be an acceptable alternative.
Okay, Mandy, that's it. Put the rest will be on the record. Next.
This is from Ed Strauss at 205 Settlers Lane. Not in my backyard. I'm a resident of 205 Settlers Lane, Curie Beach. We moved here from Westport, Connecticut 2 years ago, which was notorious for NIMBYs, which, to be honest, drove me crazy. But in the case of the Greenway and proposal for a bike path, the suggestion of putting it on federal land behind Settlers Lane is literally putting the path in the backyard of every property owner, 62 in total, living on the west side of Settlers Lane. I'm a daily bike rider and a frequent user of the bike path in Carolina Beach, and it's a wonderful experience. I hope you are aware that when you ride or walk along the Carolina Greenway path, that the pedestrian bike path has a natural vegetative barrier between the homes and the path, and the balance of the pathways is buffered by side streets and a lake. There are no natural or physical barriers between the properties on Settler Lane and the proposed bikeway. The suggestion of putting the bike path on the federal land behind the homes of Settlers Lane would be a direct intrusion on the quality of life of the property owners and the present security and safety issues, plus restrict emergency equipment and firefighters to the fire break in the event of a fire in the pine forest. On the issue of security and safety, you would be giving unknown individuals direct access to the backyards to 62 homeowners on the west side of Settlers Lane, and in the event of a burglary, a quick exit into the dark. If a second fence were added to protect the homeowners, you would be locking the bikers and pedestrians inside the bike path for almost 1/2 mile with no egress into in the event of an injury. The same would be true on the proposed bikeway with no fence, that there would be no egress except over private property. As my dad once said, sometimes the easiest solution is the best solution. You can currently ride or walk comfortably directly from the Carolina Bike Path via Spot Lane onto Settlers Lane, which has been freshly paved and is wonderful for biking and walking, connecting directly to K Avenue. The solution already exists. Just because the funds are available, our tax dollars, is it the best use of these available funds to construct a pathway that will cost multi-millions of dollars on federal land in a blast buffer zone, plus the environmental impact to this natural wildlife habitat and impacting 62 homeowners' rights to privacy and security in their homes? So yes, not in my backyard. There are greater needs today where those funds could be used, not for a bike path that would benefit a few for a recreational bike ride or a few hours at a time, a few times a year, under the pretense of the safety of the children. Thank you for considering my viewpoint. I will be happy to discuss further. P.S. I'm a graduate from the University of Massachusetts in landscape design and regional planning and held my real estate license for almost 20 years until retiring in 2021. The next one is from Joe Burke of 641 Settlers Lane. Dear Ms. Sanders, blows my objection to the second bike path revision. I have not bothered with the waste of money for the first revision that this would entail, as I believe it should be obvious. Once again, this topic is on the table, and the new proposal is the worst yet. This new proposal will evidently terminate on K Avenue. This will dump all bike and pedestrian traffic using the route onto a major road and at a point where the users will be highly subject to vehicular traffic, much more so than currently at a higher speed. The proposed fence will impact wildlife, which has already been heavily impacted by continuous construction, which is reducing its habitat. The fence will act as a catch for both man-made and natural debris, which will create a fire hazard. The fence will also inhibit any fire, police, and first responders in case of fire, criminal activity, or medical emergency. It will not prevent users from creating their own avenue of exit into existing homeowners' property. A fire hazard will be increased along the most populated area of this proposed route, as many users do smoke, and discarded smoking material, if not properly extinguished, is a live fire hazard. The proposed route will create a danger for all using it for possible criminal elements, no different than occurs in secluded park areas. It will produce an ideal hiding place for human predators bent on robbery or assault, both physical and sexual, all out of sight. The chair of the committee, Mo Lindquist, has apparently stated that she doesn't care about all the negative aspects of this new route, just cares about the safety of the children. A statement such as that is indicative of a narrow-mindedness with only a personal desire to be satisfied. Most young children tend to be accompanied by an adult. I ask the chair, will women and children and older adults be any safer when they use the path that secludes them both physically and visually, inhibits police and early responders, and allows predatory individuals to secret themselves in the trees and bushes? The current use of Settlers Lane as a portion of the bike path has increased the traffic flow on the street, and because it has been indicated as part of the bike path, has increased the hazard of an accident with a vehicle exiting a driveway, commercial traffic, and emergency vehicles. The majority of the bike riders that I have witnessed ignore the vehicle regulations they are supposed to follow and generally feel free to ride freely as they please. At least does not totally restrict their route as the suggested route would, and allows them the safety of being out in the open. Is cost maintenance of this portion of the proposed change a separately funded item, or will it come out of Curie Beach revenue taxes? Overall, I only see this as a negative change for a small percentage of the population. I hope, with respect to all property owners, that this proposal will be available to the residents as an open vote and not a closed door ballot. Respectfully submitted, Joseph Burke. Okay, last one.
Do you need a breath?
No, I'm good. This is from Lloyd Rasmussen on 777 Settlers Lane. When we bought the lot at 777 Settlers Lane back in 1989, we were told that the Sunny Point property was never going to be built on or used for any recreation and be maintained as a fire break. We loved the community and the thought of having privacy in the backyard grow. That meant a lot to us and still does. That is why we didn't hesitate to buy this lot. With all the crime that is going on these days, we feel there is a greater risk of crime to open the fire break to the public. We are a beach community and we get a lot of tourists and some undesirable people, not to mention pedophiles and sex offenders. If you look it up, you will find more than our share in our community. The Greenway would be a great place for a predator to possibly do what they do best. As a grandparent, I'm concerned about the safety of my grandsons and others. The Greenway would be a great place for an ambush. Could you live with that safety prophecy? As one of the 62 houses located on Settlers Lane, we vehemently oppose the Bike Pedestrian Committee's proposal, as does the Kiri Beach Town Council, who voted this down years ago, and the police and fire departments of the town of Kiri Beach have always been against this proposal. Please do not let this study continue, and let's keep Kiri Beach the paradise we treasure and love. Thank you for your consideration, Lloyd and Diane Rasmussen.
Was that it, Mandy? Okay. Thank you all who decided to come forward and speak, and thank you for those who had sending letters. We will now move on with the rest of the agenda. Presentations. The first presentation is from Mr. Kenneth Halanch.
Halanch,
okay. UNCW Center of Marine Sciences. Thank you for joining us tonight.
My pleasure. So thank you, Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, and Commissioners. I am now acutely aware that I am standing in between all those comments in the Bike and Biped Committee section. So I would love to hear another pickleball comment. Well, I have a lot of room at CMS for pickleball, so we can make that work. So I'm Kevin Lonich. I am down at the Center for Marine Science at UNCW, and I've only been here for about a year and a half, and what I'm trying to do is reconnect with communities and just remind people that we're here and that we're trying to think about working with communities with what we do. So just to give people a quick reminder, the Center for Marine Science, the actual campus is on Masonboro Loop Road. We've been around 50 years. It started up at Wrightsville Beach. We have a number of things. We have the area on in Myrtle Grove, on Masonboro Loop Road. We have a shellfish hatchery. We have a finfish hatchery. And it's a fairly big program. While we have 40 people down on our main campus with the whole UNCW, the main campus itself, we have about 180 faculty. So we do a number of things, but one of the things that I'm trying to reach out and let communities know about is one of our main jobs is trying to ensure safe and healthy coasts. So one of the big things I'm trying to do is break down the ivory tower. So one of the challenges with being at a university, it's very easy to, I won't say forget about connections, but not foster them in the way they should be fostered. So I'm here trying to promote partnerships, and one of the big things is turning towards looking for solutions for societal issues. Some of the problems and issues you will be facing here at Kiri Beach, other than the biped issue, I'm not touching that one. So we have a number of different thematic areas. I'm not going to go into large detail on these. Some of these are very relevant, like climate change and sustainable seafood, flooding and toxins. I'm just going to give you an example of a type of workshop that we will be doing in May. And this is our Global Marine Summit. And for this, we've chosen three areas which are very impactful to the region. So one of the big topics we're going to try to touch on is wind energy. As you guys know, this is a very hot topic right now around here. There's a lot going on. There is a lot happening. For me, it's been very interesting because 20 years ago, I was up on Cape Cod when wind energy started coming in. And I'm hearing a lot of the same conversation here that I heard there. And a lot of it really breaks down to what we don't know, meaning we as a community don't know, versus what is not known. And I'm hoping the Center for Marine Science can help with some of those conversations. The other big thing is flooding and inundation. It just so happens that the speaker after me is Tony McEwen from the American Flood Coalition. You will hear a lot more from Tony. Their group is doing a great job of trying to connect communities with possible solutions, and Tony has helped pull me into a little bit of that as well. We are very concerned about flooding and inundation. One of the big things in this area, I don't recognize it's a picture of Carolina Beach, but one of the big things in this area is complex flooding. We have sunny day flooding from high tides now with sea level rise. We also have flooding coming down the river. And then every so many years we have a hurricane that decides to sort of stop right over us and cause a lot of problems. One of the things I want to try to do is help us pivot, and instead of just reacting to what's happened, is to be able to predict and look at areas and say, you know, where do we think the problems are going to be and how can we get out in front of that? One of the other big areas that we're dealing with in this type of question is we've just landed a major grant for working with drones, which can be outfitted to do a number of different things. They can get out in the environment, they can help assess where the high land is, where the low land is, they can go out after an event and actually sort of be the first responders, for lack of a better word. So I'm just trying to introduce some of these concepts, and I'm always happy to answer questions later. The other big topic is, of course, toxicants and pollutants, right? This actually fits right in with the flooding, because when the flooding happens in this area, PFAS get moved around. Also, when the flooding happens, or when a major storm hits and there's a lot of runoff, you have harmful algal blooms, and that can affect a number of different things in the area. So we are actively working in these areas. We're trying to find societal solutions and work with communities. And then, as some of you all may be aware, we've had a very long-running program called the Cape Fear River Program, which has worked with companies that actually discharge into the Cape Fear River Basin, trying to take a look at pollutants and toxins and staying on top of what's happening there. So those are some of the main things. The other big one that sort of affects this area is sand mining and replenishment. The Bureau of Ocean and Energy Management very kindly just awarded the Center for Marine Science a $2 million project to look at the feasibility of sand mining off Frying Pan Shoals, which could have implications for your community. So, like I said, I just wanted to introduce some of the things we're doing. I'm trying to rebuild community connections, and I will stop there since I know this meeting is going a little longer. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Do we have any questions for the presentation? Gentlemen?
So, as you do drone projects, we'd be very interested in the total elevation topography of Cherry Beach for stormwater issues. So we'd be very interested to work with you if that is a possibility.
That is definitely a possibility. So we have a team of investigators working on that, and I will try to make sure that they touch base with you guys and see how we can connect on that.
Thank you.
Is there any work on along the lines of the health of the aquifer?
There is. I'll be honest, I don't know it off the top of my head because my background is more in geology than hydrology.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But there is ongoing work with that, especially in the context of some of the PFAS issues that have been happening there. And then, of course, recharge issues as well.
Right. Okay. We'd be interested in anything along those lines, too. I'm sorry, John. Yep. Go ahead.
Regarding your slide on modeling and predicting flooding, we do have on the backside over on the river a gauge that reads the water level. I don't know if you've tapped into that. Or...
So we have, and I haven't talked about a lot of other programs that we are doing to try to tap in with that. And I think one of the things Tony will touch on is really trying to coordinate information. There are a lot of bits of information from a number of different groups that aren't necessarily being coordinated well. I know the American Flood Coalition is trying to work with some of this. We'll try to work with some of this. And the funny thing is, although down in Curry Beach it's not as big of a deal, but when I talk to people about sea level rise, they think about the ocean side. The worst part that's going to get hit by sea level rise here is actually the river side, because so much of it is low lying. But thank you for reminding me.
But if there's any way we can assist in any of these programs that have interest for us, we're willing to take a look at it.
Okay. Thank you all for the time.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. The next presentation is Mr. McEwen. Tony, welcome.
I always seem to get stuck behind people that are smarter than me.
I don't know about that.
And And I'll say kudos to your residents here in Curry Beach. I used to work for the city of Wilmington, and I don't think I've ever seen such a civil public discourse at a community meeting. So hats off to y'all. And I've got a number of slides, but I'm going to rush through this as well. Let me preface this with, again, as opposed to Dr. Hellenic, I'm not a policy wonk on this stuff. I more deal with some of the politics and trying to bridge the gap between communities that have concerns on flooding issues and the ability to get things done in both the congressional level and the state legislature. So again, my name is Tony McEwen. I'm the Carolinas director for the American Flood Coalition. Let me say that I'm not here. I'm going to ask politely if y'all would like to become a member of the American Flood Coalition, as well as kind of clue you into some of the work we're doing. I'm not asking you for any resources whatsoever. The only thing I'm asking for you to do is lend your voice to what it is we're trying to do. And y'all have already done that in the past. Mayor Buzinski, I was looking at a picture the other day of one of the first gatherings when I was with the city of Wilmington, where we started to bring together county commission chairs and mayors from across eastern North Carolina to after Hurricane Florence to try and make a difference on behalf of our region. And you were there at the table very early on in Duplin County, so I appreciate that. And I'm going to highlight some of what's been accomplished in North Carolina in recent years. And again, that's thanks in part to your work, Mayor, and to your fellow commissioners there in Curry Beach. So Tony McEwen, Carolina's director for the American Flood Coalition. I'm a state and federal lobbyist on behalf of the American Flood Coalition, and I work to bring, again, folks together on these issues. American Flood Coalition is a national nonprofit. I'll give you just some information about us very quickly. Protecting communities that are vulnerable to flooding and sea level rise. It's a national issue that must be met with national solutions, vitally important to our well-being, economic strength, and security. Four pillars that we focus on for coastal as well as inland solutions: economy, communities, rebuilding, and military. We're made up of, I'm going to list for you some of our members here in North Carolina. We have about 60 at this point. We have federal champions, which is to comply with congressional ethics rules. That's how members of Congress, U.S. senators, House members join the American Flood Coalition. Cities, towns, elected officials, businesses, we have a number of chambers of commerce. We have a number of retired high-level military officials that are on our board as well. So this is our staff, some of the brightest minds in the nation on flood resilience strategy and policy, based out of our Washington office. I'm here working solo out of Wilmington. And so just to give you a picture of some of our members, this is just some of our key folks I'm going to hone in on. We have communities as small as Fairmont and Robeson County, as Fair Bluff. But we also have members of the legislature like the Speaker of the House. We have members that are from as far west as Haywood County, west of Asheville, but as far east as Nagshead. So this is kind of a full but a little bit outdated snapshot of our members. We've got several legislators from this area. Senator Michael Lee, Representative Ted Davis, Representative Charlie Miller are members of our organization. Federal champions, these are some folks that you probably recognize, whether you watch MSNBC or Fox News. Senator Tim Scott, Senator Mark Warner, Marco Rubio are all folks that we actively work with at the federal level. So on a regular basis, our staff are developing policy solutions as it relates to flooding and sea level rise adaptation. We work with their offices to ensure that your concerns in Curry Beach, Canton, North Carolina, what have you, are incorporated into those policy proposals. We focus primarily North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida, and Texas. So again, we're not here asking you for anything. We oftentimes are in a position to return resources to you, whether that be financial resources in the form of grants that we provide as an organization to local governments, but again, trying to set a situation where there's more resources available to a Curry Beach. But also we develop tools that you can utilize. So best-in-class educational guides, tools for effective communication, networks of leaders on flooding, competitive local resilience pilots, and platform for advocacy and education. So just recently, about a month, I've been in this position for about 6 months now, and recently we flew over 40 mayors and county commissioners from North Carolina on our dime to Washington, D.C. to have an immersive opportunity to learn more about flood resilience policy and practices, and then as well to be able to interface with nationally recognized leaders on these issues. So just an example, there is the Mayor Bergdahl with a retired four-star general. And then Mayor Sappho and then Commissioner Jackie Moon of Pender County with Mayor Landrew, who is heads up HIDES infrastructure team. So this is something your staff may be interested in. You know, I used to work for Congressman Mike McIntyre, and I was in the business of trying to help communities find funding, federal funding, and access those resources. And it's a challenge, you know, to be able to look at this minutia, just pages and pages of what to the average person is just nonsensical, myself included. And so what we did is we developed a tool where your staff can just very simply put in just basic layman's terms into a search engine, and it will shoot out every federal dollar that's available. It really kind of simplifies the process of how you can access those federal dollars. So that's something completely free, whether you're a member or not. But that's our flood funding finder. We have a dual disaster handbook, so as communities are dealing with COVID issues, as well as dealing with flooding issues, hurricane issues, what have you, there's some tools that you maybe could utilize. We just released an adaptation for all guide, and really what it does is it lays out the 26 kind of best approaches, kind of best shared practices that communities have utilized around the country, breaks it down by cost, benefit, and how you can implement it locally. And so, but this is the key part I'd like to focus in on. So as I said, it's a new day in North Carolina. What we did after Hurricane Florence, and again, Curry Beach, thank you, you were part of that. We set up a bipartisan entity that ultimately was over 60 mayors and county commission chairs. We got national recognition as we tried to be a voice, tried to be a squeaky wheel on behalf of our communities who are still trying to recover from Hurricane Florence as well as Hurricane Matthew. And so a couple years into this, I mean, we ended up in the White House having meetings. We met with cabinet level secretaries at the federal level. I didn't know half of what I was talking about, but I did my best on it. And it was just an opportunity to be an advocate on behalf of our communities. And so fast forward a couple of years from that, big national groups like the Pew Charitable Trust, the group I work for now, came alongside of this organization that we built up and kind of used us as a vessel to accomplish some of our mutual interest points in North Carolina, as an example. And so as I, kind of the lone staffer on this effort, as we got a little bit more professional what we were trying to do, we did an Eastern North Carolina listening tour, and we came up with six priorities. Well, five of those six priorities were introduced in House Bill 500 by the majority leader of the State House, John Bell, who's out of Goldsboro, went to UNCW, completed his undergrad through there. So that bill was ultimately put into the state budget and was funded, I'm pleased to support, and this goes back to 2021, but this is still news to a lot of folks, $357 million in direct response to what it is y'all asked for and collectively we asked for in North Carolina. So that money's starting to flow right now. And we're trying to connect the dots for people and help folks understand that North Carolina is in rarefied air, really, with the state of Florida and the state of Louisiana, with the amount of money that they've invested in taking proactive steps to protect our community from flooding and sea level rise. And so just as an example, some money that flowed out recently, and this is something we're going to be working on, and I'd like to work on with Curry Beach. So for the first time, a lot of the concerns that you find across the state are different, right? But whether you're talking with folks in the extreme western part of the state or whether it's Curry Beach, as an example, is they have concerns with transportation corridors that flood. And these can just be a regular day flooding. It doesn't need a hurricane, as you folks know way better than I do, right? And so we created for the first time as part of this $350 million package, grants that go to local governments to help them work on studying their main transportation arteries to make sure that they're as resilient as possible to flooding and storms. But as well to help actually do infrastructure, get shovels in the ground to help improve, whether it be stormwater alongside of roads, what have you, whatever meets your needs. So we created a $15 million grant program with the help of our legislature. $50 million is a lot of money, but in the grand scheme of things, statewide, it's not a ton of money. But so 19 grants were awarded from those dollars. About five grants of the 19 went to Pender, New Hanover, and Brunswick. So what we're trying to do in the next legislative session, this is again an example where we can utilize your voice and you can possibly use some of these resources, is we're going to ask for a larger chunk of money from the legislature next year. The legislature is continuing to run a surplus with state revenues. And so we're going to ask, in addition to making sure that these existing dollars that we've already successfully gotten, that they're implemented in an effective, equitable, efficient manner, we're going to continue to work on this transportation resource for our local governments. And so it's just a couple of pictures. Again, we don't like to just ask on the front end. We try to celebrate what has happened along the way and make sure communities understand what opportunities there are, and say thank you to our legislators that are being responsive to our mutual issues. So we did a bus tour recently to show our region, to show the media in this area exactly what these dollars are meaning for our region. and also to the point of, you know, trying to empower local government leaders. We have a very strong communications team with American Flood Coalition, and we helped author a an op-ed that was put into multiple newspapers throughout the region for the two kind of key leaders on flood resilience in our region. That's the Republican County Commission Chair in Pender County, and Wilmington Mayor Bill Saff, who have been kind of the two folks spearheading there, as you know, this effort across the state. So, you know, to kind of make use of the fact that we had the four-year anniversary from Florence just recently and paint the picture of exactly what's been done since then for the community, we helped them author this document. So that's all I have. Sorry if I went a little bit over for you, but I'm happy to answer any questions, and again, would appreciate y'all's consideration for coming in.
Gentlemen, I've been to a few of these events with Tony when he was still with Wilmington, and I don't know if you would recall that we became an island after Florence. We couldn't get here, we couldn't get fuel, we couldn't get things for a lot of the areas. At that time, Mayor Saffo and Tony, being the lead man, even though Mayor Saffo was very important to it, got a lot of the communities together. And from that voice became that group, which has now been absorbed into a national group. And Tony, I'm pleased to see you engaged with it. And I don't know if you have any questions, but this is a group that provides information, provides way to get cash for programs you have relative to this type of activity. I don't know if you have any questions for Tony at this point in time, but I fully support the activity that they are engaged in.
Yeah. Mr. Mayor, Tony and I spoke at the NC Byways meeting, and we talked about Curie Beach becoming a member of the coalition, mm-hmm. and officially becoming a member of the coalition. So, Tony, we thank you for coming tonight. It's very informative and good help.
Appreciate it.
Any questions, John?
Yeah, two. I'm very supportive, by the way, so I think you guys are doing great work. I spent the afternoon on your website just trying to understand before we talked. When was the American Flood Coalition founded? Because it's not on there anywhere.
I've been with it for about 6 months. I don't think the organization is any older than maybe 6 years. It's not set up to be a legacy organization. We're a very well-funded nonprofit. We have folks that have dedicated their fortunes to making a difference on these.
Well, that was the second part I was going to ask, because you can't find how you guys are funded either. So, yeah. I mean, I'm very supportive, but when we put our names on stuff, I like to know,
absolutely.
Okay, where did these guys come from? And who's paying for it, right?
Absolutely.
And you can't find either one of those things anywhere.
I can provide that to you.
If you would, I'd appreciate it.
The initial concern is, hey, is there some industry that someone would be concerned about funding this? Not at all. There's no private money that goes into this. This is foundational money. So groups that you would recognize, like the Kresge Foundation, the 2040 Foundation, who's a North Carolinian that is very well off, that has given his life fortune to doing this type of work, who has concern with climate change issues. And so there are nothing, I wouldn't be involved in something, frankly, that had some...
No, I understand.
But there are zero private sector dollars that flow into this. It is all foundational. It is all folks that invest in philanthropy just as a person.
Well, feedback to your team, it would be good on your website. And how old you are is important to at least some grumpy old guys like me, maybe, but no one else. But
I believe it's somewhere between 5 and 6 years old. But again, it's not meant to be an organization that's going to be here 100 years from now. It's folks that want to make a significant difference and not have it be a legacy organization.
Okay, thank you.
This may not be appropriate time, but where do we stand on the I-40 corridor?
Where do we stand on the I-40 corridor? There was a variety of money committed by the state legislature do some build-ups in those low areas so that we could actually achieve getting supply back into the community. I guess Florence was a unique storm in the amount of water and in where the water was placed, and it took out a lot of rivers, took out sections of I-40. I don't know exactly where those dollars stand, but I knew that some of that work has started, I believe, Tony.
Yeah, there's, you know, I know folks hate to hear about another study, right? But there are a significant amount of study that's taking place right now with some of these resources. One of the most important things that is going on is they're doing the blueprint process, which basically models all the basins in the state. Mm-hmm. And so tries to take the politics out of the funding of some of this stuff and inject more science and forward-looking data into the process. And so that's taking place now. A lot of that will start to come online next year and inform future investments. But so part of that $350 million, there was about $130 million for stream debris removal projects. And you talk to a lot of folks around the state, especially local leaders, will say that's one of the most important things that you can do as it relates to flooding. Now, there's different opinions on that, but significant investment is being made in North Carolina. So as an example, on that bus tour, we went by one of the sites that is right there on the Duplin County-Pender County line that had significant flooding that got national attention, the pictures and everything from on I-40. So they have done significant stream debris removal on the outer edges of that part of the interstate. And they can show where that has made a major difference currently. There's larger challenges and questions that need to be answered, but temporarily put some band-aids on a very serious situation. Some of the stream debris projects have aided those major roadways. Mm-hmm. Does that help?
Yeah, very much. Thank you.
Okay. Tony, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Mr. Mayor, we have a resolution in your packet tonight for us to become a member of the coalition, resolution R22-14. I won't read it, but I would make a motion that we adopt the resolution in support of us joining the coalition.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Therefore, all in favor of supporting the resolution in support of this organization, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes. Thanks, Tony. We'll make sure you get a copy of it. Okay, committee business. Bike Ped Advisory Committee, any inputs tonight?
I'll handle that in the new business section.
Okay. Community Center Committee. The only report from Community Center Committee is they had a very successful Christmas activity making the ball lights, and the cookie exchange was very successful. So if you participated in that, thank you all very much. If you did not, you really missed a pretty cool opportunity. And it wasn't bring your Oreos and get good home-baked cookies. So it was, you bring home-baked cookies, you get home-baked cookies. So it was quite an exchange. Historical Preservation Commission?
Nothing from Historical Preservation.
Okay. Thank you, Craig. Marketing Committee. Dirk, how are we doing?
Mark,
actually.
You like fucking Dirk. Cool. So, I have not presented. I've been involved with this committee for over a year and a half now. We made some progress, and I just thought I'd give you guys a quick overview of where we are. I hope it's not too long. Sometimes I get a little long. So, Mr. Mayor, Town Council, first of all, I want you to know that the Curry Beach Marketing Advisory Committee for the KBMAC has 7 members that are very passionate and smart when it comes to marketing, both traditional and digital marketing. I believe Mr. Ellen can attest to this. Right, Mr. Ellen? As you can imagine, we have a lot of ideas and with respect to marketing here at Beach. And while it's easy to kick around the ideas and talk about marketing, it's a whole different thing to take action and really leverage the talent with this marketing committee. So I plan to provide a quick report at each town council meeting going forward, and want to cover 2 things tonight. The first thing is a very high level overview of the committee and what we've been doing. As you know, the KBMAC was created primarily to consult with Wilmington and UGCDB as they use their 3% of the room occupancy tax to develop a tourism marketing plan and budget for Curie Beach. We provide input, we review their plan and budget, then recommend it to the town council for approval. Historically, the KBMAC seems to have been more of a rubber stamp on the CDB's plans to spend the funds. The CDB certainly has legislative authority, but we want to provide more value to the town, especially with the knowledge and experience within this current KBMAC team. Consequently, we've become more and more engaged in the CDB's proposals, and we certainly are listening to some degree. Through my discussions with Sean Brady, who is the executive VP of the marketing strategy, it was made clear that they are in charge of the how. And I think this was a good way, a good conversation, mm-hmm. a way for us to dig into this, is they're in charge of the how. By how, I mean they are responsible for how Kiri Beach will be marketed by for tourism. This relates to where and when they are marketing, through which channels and the content. And I might add that they definitely ask for our input. This isn't about throwing them under the bus. To be fair, it's a lot of work to execute the marketing strategy, and KB does benefit somewhat by gaining some cost efficiencies, being grouped with Carolina Beach and Riceville Beach. Plus, we certainly don't have the staff to do what they do, and they do a pretty good job. However, where Ms. Braden said that they need help is defining the what. In other words, what are KB's products to be promoted? This is important and something our committee grabbed onto. Therefore, the KB MAC plans to take on that role more actively by assessing and possibly better defining our brand and offering to tourists. We call this our redirection plan for 2023, where we target and explore the following six product areas: history, arts, outdoor and exercise, environment, food and lodging, and events. Each committee member, we have seven committee members, each committee member is focused on a specific area and will develop ideas to bring back to the committee to discuss and prioritize and eventually bring to you guys. We believe this approach will allow us to provide a better roadmap for the CVB to support the KB brand, tourism, and our local partners. It'll have us much more prepared for those conversations that go on seemingly quickly after the fact. There's more to come later. I'm looking forward to presenting you more about this once the committee gets rolling on these things. So the second part is really, in order to move forward with this approach, we have submitted a proposal for your approval that will essentially expand the KB MAC's mission to also serve in an advisory capacity to the town of Kiri Beach. This extension will allow us to better identify our products and help shape our brand, which will not only help with tourism, but we also believe it will help serve the residents. We propose that the document be renamed as a charter rather than a mission as well. With this change, the KB MAC will be able to work with the town of Kiri Beach to assist in other marketing endeavors as directed or needed by town departments and other committees. In other words, it's an opportunity to help centralize some of the marketing efforts that are going on, an opportunity for the town to leverage the tremendous talent on this team for advice in other areas, whereas the current mission is strictly for tourism and dealing with the CVB. So I'd ask that you guys read that proposal and accept it and let us change so we can do a little more for the community. Questions?
I think, actually, Mark, I think this is pretty much what we've been talking about, right? You're right, the TDA has the statute authority for what they do. But this means that you will tell them when they go through all what there is, I mean, how to do it, you will tell them what we as a community want put forward. One, so that they're not pushing out things we don't want them to advertise. Exactly. And secondly, we'll have them push out things that we do want them people to know about Kiri Beach.
Yes.
There were some people who would say, we don't want to tell anybody at all.
Yes. The important part of this is I'm a big fan of controlling our destiny. Right. And right now what we're doing is we're letting CVB drive the bus here.
Right.
And the thing that we can do, because there's no way to address the what. I mean, all these marketing folks, we jumped on the how. We want to do the how. We want to tell them how to do this. But when they open the door to what, then I looked at it and I said, well, we can define what. We can look at the parks and the beach, and we can look at whether we want to, how we want to handle the arts, how we want to portray that and what our brand is going to be like. And we need to know that before they go into their planning and their budgeting. So that's what this committee is about. But I also see this as a great way for us to use this. We don't have a chief marketing officer for the town, mm-hmm. But you certainly use this committee to talk to when there's signage or there's other things going on, and maybe just get advice. And right now we're not, our charter doesn't allow us to do that. So that's what I'm asking for.
Okay. I like the direction you're taking this, and I like your leadership on this, Mark. So do we have a motion to accept the rewrite?
Can we hear from the town clerk?
I just have one suggestion. You guys are on town committee, and so we have to have a regularly scheduled meeting for you monthly. These are not, I understand things come up and things have to be changed, but the statement that you have in here about the next meeting date is scheduled at a prior meeting based on needs and agenda items, we have to, that's not other meeting laws. We have to kind of abide by a regularly set schedule.
So that is, if it's in black, is it in black?
Mm-hmm.
That's actually part of the existing mission then.
Right.
So I don't mind changing that. In fact, we are already booked monthly.
Right, you are. That's why.
We can change that.
Okay. I just wanted to bring that to your attention.
Okay. No problem.
Thank
That's
you.
It. I'll do. Anything else?
No
support. I did want to say.
So we have consensus on this?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
With that change.
I need a motion for that, since there would be a change.
Make a motion that we allow the Marketing Advisory Committee to change their mission statement to a charter with the red changes, and to add the requirement from the town clerk on a regular scheduled meeting in that change.
I'll second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Thanks, Mark.
One last thing is, I know Mr. Allen has a document that he shared with you guys.
Yes.
A little bit more than right there.
All right. Thank you. Next committee report is the Parking Committee. Dennis and I will be getting together here early in January to look at the contract initiatives that are embedded in our current contract, potentially extending them, and looking at the recommendations from staff and the recommendations from the company as to other things that we can do to improve the program. So, and those will be presented at the January meeting. Planning and Zoning Commission.
Yeah, the Planning and Zoning Commission business is associated with Agenda Item 8.2. So when Mr. John Babson presents that, we'll have any answer any questions.
So we'll move on to it. He'll bring it up when we get to 8.2.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, we'll bring that up at 8.2. So we'll push that forward to 8.2 under department head business. Shoreline access and beach protection.
Inventory of the signs, so there will be a substantial number of signs that need to be replaced, added, as well as committee is working to replace and put in more of the cigarette disposal stations. Mm-hmm. So okay. We may need a budget amendment for shoreline access, might need to cover those costs.
Okay.
This year before the new fiscal year.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. Stormwater Committee?
No updates tonight, sir.
No updates tonight?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Then we're going to move into Department Head Business Administration. Mandy?
I don't have any updates tonight.
No updates tonight to bring to council? Okay. Building Inspections Department, 8.2. Proposal on text amendments.
Received a lot of brand new, came on public beach access signs and I'm delivered from Public Works. So I believe they should be putting those up pretty soon also.
Okay, great, thank you.
Yeah, for you today, quite a few post-text amendments. These were changes that I've asked for primarily to make my job a little easier, streamlined, and to provide equity as far as enforcement across the board for different all properties in Cary Beach. And so they start at number four of the document that you have in front of you. I'm happy to go through each one of them, but you'll see that all the new proposed is in red. Deletions have a black strike through. I'm here to answer any questions or go through them if you'd like.
One comment, you can get the information that John is offering, but these are Chapter 15 amendments, the bulk of them. They require a legislative hearing, and the agenda item tonight is really to fix the date by motion for that legislative hearing.
Okay. Thank you, Counselor.
And if I can add, Planning and Zoning Commission recommends putting this to legislative hearing.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Mayor, I don't have issues with anything you want to do, John. I do want us to, I would like to make a motion that we pull the note number two out, the administrative title changes, until our job classification study is complete. So to give the Council of Government the opportunity to show us a job description and any other changes that would come with the reorganization of your department. I think it's a step in the right direction, but I think before we see that, before we make those changes, this is a little premature. It's only going to be a couple months till we get the job classification study done. So I'll put that in the form of a motion to remove administrative title changes out.
Okay, I understand the point you're making. I mean, it's quite clear that John's job is far more than being the enforcement officer for the but I think it does make sense to ensure that the right salary is associated with the work, that the work is what you're asking the work to be defined specifically.
Job description, departmental setup, and everything. So I make that in form of a motion.
Okay.
But I think it would behoove him that the people that are doing the study know that he is much more than a building inspector. If they walk in and say, "This is John Batson, he's our building inspector."
And as the place pay study plan, he will be interviewed and he has the opportunity to share that with the people from the Council of Government.
Where do we stand on the time frame for that?
We start meeting with them in February with management to discuss the expectations of the pay study, and they'll start conducting orientation sessions with employees and staff. Then they'll do interviews with employees and collect more data for the labor market and salaries in March. And then in April, we'll meet with them to discuss the preliminary findings and receive their input. They'll do a final presentation. And then in May, they'll deliver the final compilation.
So in other words, they haven't started?
No, I've just been communicating with them and giving them current information, but that is what their timeline is.
Well, I'm fine with that being pulled out, Mayor and Councilman.
Well,
I've asked you guys to look at this.
Yeah, and I'm not opposed to it. I just would rather see all that documentation, job description, their recommendations, since we're doing the study right now.
When you get a chance to be interviewed on this, John, make sure they understand the five jobs you have.
I did that the last time, too, but they judged it basically on a title. That's it.
Okay. We certainly...
I'm moving forward, sir. I'm fine with you guys taking that out.
Okay. So we had a motion. We did not have a second.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. All in favor of removing that portion until we have a clear definition on the job responsibilities, the pay scale associated with it, etc. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. We will take a look at this, John.
But we're really here regarding this to set a date for the legislative
right.
hearing.
Yes.
And
yes.
when we do that, we can talk about this anyway.
Right.
So we certainly can do that because there's a lot of good changes in this document, right. in my opinion.
Yes, sir.
Finally get clarification on a couple of things. So,
will we be ready at the January meeting?
Not to talk about this.
No, but to talk
yeah.
about
oh, yeah. yeah.
For the rest, yes.
Yeah, we can put it in
so
January.
So make a motion. Is it 30 minutes or an hour, do you think, John, based on past experience for the rest of the portion?
I would say more than 30 minutes.
I mean, there's not very much. I saw there's a bunch of deleted stuff that I go through, all the deleted stuff I read this afternoon, but the red portions added make total sense. So it's just in the details of deleting everything. But I think that comes out of the hearing. So make a motion 30 minutes before the moved January meeting, whenever we make that, that we put this 30 minutes before that meeting because it's later in the agenda.
Second.
Okay, so... all in favor of having a legislative hearing 30 minutes before our next town council meeting in January, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Okay.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, John. Finance Department.
No update from finance.
Okay. One question for you, Arlen. Are we on track for the software changes?
Yes, we're rather intensive right now, and the next 2 months are even going to be worse, but we're trying to have everything converted by the end of February, except for utility billing. That'll be done kind of separately, and that probably April, May timeframe, so that's fully converted.
Okay. Thank you, Arlen. And he has communicated that to us. I thought you should know that there will be new software. That'll take us into the next decade at least, because the old stuff is in the last decade, trust me. Fire Department.
No update, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Ed.
I would like to mention that the fire department put on a magnificent fireman's ball this past weekend.
Okay. Okay. Nice job, Ed.
Thank you, sir.
Certainly the guys had an exciting year in saving people and the number of calls. So team is strong. By the way, I would also like to congratulate a new volunteer lieutenant.
Thank you, sir.
Commissioner Hagler has passed the physical and the mental requirements, and he is now the volunteer lieutenant for the fire department.
Well, one of the lieutenants.
Well, one of them. But I mean, the key word being volunteer.
Yes,
kind of like the job up here.
Commissioner Hagler was also recognized at the fireman's ball for his number of years of service.
Yes, which is,
cool.
which
25.
Is 25? Okay.
Just getting over.
All right. Okay, Police Department.
No updates, sir.
No updates? Okay, Mike. Public Works Department.
I have a couple.
Okay, Jimmy. You bringing trouble?
No. No trouble.
What do we have?
Good afternoon, Council. I am seeking Council's approval on a couple of things this afternoon. One would be the 4th Avenue sewer project. I had this camera about 2 years ago, and evidently COVID kind of slowed things down, so I'm bringing this back up. We discussed this during the budget meeting, last retreat that we had. I have got a proposal for Council to look at, and hopefully you guys accept it. It's been really hard finding companies to actually get work done, especially a local company. It's about impossible. So I went back with Civil Solutions came back with a proposal to line an 8-inch sewer line from E Avenue all the way to M Avenue because of the infiltration and stuff, and I was asking the council to approve the proposal tonight for me, please.
Legal's looked at it. We've dealt with them before. We were, the first time we revised their contract, it was encouraging to see that this latest proposal repeated the same revisions that we got them to agree to last time. So, Legal has no problem with the contract.
Okay, excellent.
This is a budgeted. This is budgeted in this year's budget.
Thing. And Councilman Hagler did ask me a really good question. I've tried for the last 45 minutes with these guys to text me back. When we do this lining, it's going to close off some of the laterals from the houses. So I'll work with the company and stuff and let all the residents know that, you know, a certain time frame that they would be able to flush or not flush, something like that. So I'll work with them on that right there.
There is one thing I forgot. The first go-around, we had Civil Solutions attach their warranty to the contract. I forgot to tell Jimmy to do that. When you follow up with, what's the gentleman's name?
Matt.
Yeah, when you follow up with that, make sure that the make sure that the contract that was signed and dated by both sides has that warranty stapled to it.
The warranty itself.
Please.
And also attached to that proposal is a storm drain, 18-inch storm drain off of Settlers Lane that me and Commissioner Hagler went and looked at. I had it cameraed a few weeks ago, and sure enough, there was a little bit of separation in between concrete pipes, which is causing indentions in the yards. So I'm asking, you know, to get that lined also while they're up here to just save money on mobilization.
How long is that particular line, Jimmy? Do you know?
It's 126 feet.
120 feet, and the original is 1,400 feet. The first, the proposal between
the sewer line is 1,400 feet,
right,
with an additional stormwater pipe at 18 inches, 126 feet.
Okay. Now, when the laterals, you said you're working on that.
Yes.
I just wonder if it's a long-term thing that.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be open. They did this quite a bit, and I hate I didn't ask this question before because that is a pretty serious, you know, issue when you can't flush your toilet.
Yeah, actually.
So we'll
make sure we figure it out and have a plan.
We'll have a plan. Okay.
But so, also on the agenda tonight, I'm asking that council approve the Clark Group for this baseline study for the sewer lease. Lagoon lease.
Yes.
You know, because Botsu did ask for a land-based study. So we went with the Clark Group, I think 2018 or 2019, I'm not sure.
It's every 5 years, right?
Yes, sir. And so this is one of the requirements through Botsu that we have to get done. So I recommend the Clark Group. At, they said it should not exceed no more than $6,400.
Okay.
And 60 to 90 days, that's within the Botsu requirement time frame to get this done?
Yeah, we had a year.
Yeah.
Okay. So we had until December of next year.
Okay.
I believe. Is that right?
Yeah.
Mandy?
It was December of 2023. It
yes.
Is.
Good.
Town attorney does have a comment or two about this. I was not aware of this proposal until the agenda came out.
Okay.
And I'm not familiar with the Clark Group. 2 points. Sounds like the course of dealing that we had with them was fine, such that the usual contract provisions we fall back on maybe are not required in this case. I'll leave that all up to you to decide which way to go on that. The main point is this. I'm not familiar with the Clark Group, but recall that anytime the town hires, no matter what the price is, small or large, architects, surveyors, or engineers, that we have an RFQ procurement process that we can exempt ourselves from by resolution. I'm not familiar with the Clark Group, but if they
are going to provide engineering and survey services, and I know survey means something a little different here. We can't approve it until we come back with a resolution exemption.
Okay.
So can you prepare one in poll council, because this is $6,400.
Oh,
so okay. This is not in the over the $30,000 limit.
No, the formation of a resolution is perfectly simple enough to do.
Right. But can we poll council for that so we don't slow this down?
Well, let me think for a second.
Because we're under all the financial thresholds, I think.
Let me think for a second. I think that you could entertain a motion to exempt him by resolution that the attorney will draft. Yeah, I think you can.
Cool. Then okay, I make a motion we exempt the Clark Group by a resolution the attorney will draft so that we can move forward on the environmental study required by Matsu for our lease.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay.
Aye.
You got that one, Jimmy?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You bet.
Jimmy, can you give us a quick update? Have you heard anything about this stormwater line on Matsu property from the engineers?
No, sir, not this month. I have not.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. But they're in the process of developing for the some of the people in
for the plan.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're developing the specifications so we can bid it, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Great.
Okay.
Right. Thank you.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Mr. Mayor, I'm not sure if I missed it. Did you do a motion for the civil solutions?
No, we did not.
No.
So we do need to.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good job.
Okay. Make a motion we approve Civil Solutions proposal so we can move forward with remedying the issues on the 4th Avenue South sewer issues.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, you got that one too, Jimmy.
Thanks.
So we don't put any sinkholes in people's yards.
Well, it's in the road. It's not in their yards. So.
Well, yeah, it's under the road, but okay, very good. Next up is the Recreation Department. Nikki.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. We just have a pretty straightforward permit that came in the last month that I am seeking approval for this evening. It's for Tuesday, January 17th. Between the hours of 6 a.m. and 10 a.m. and it would like pedestrian traffic control on the beach near the pier and 12 spaces in the downtown area on Atlantic Avenue for their permit.
Okay, I've read through the memo. I imagine that you all have as well. Any questions on it for Nikki, or are we ready to go ahead and vote on this?
No. Make a motion we approve as requested.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. All in favor of approving the movie permit? Say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Okay, Nikki, thank you. One interesting thing I noticed that there's two actors in this and 90 people to film them. So.
And they're filming it. It's a summer scene.
Yeah, I know.
So they're going to be
in February.
Yeah, they're filming in February. So I think we need to give Nikki and Sean a round of applause or a pat on the back for the great event they had Friday night down at the park. We had so many people had to close the street down, and Nikki was a great job, and a lot of people, I think, they enjoyed it. I saw that they used the youth from the Baptist Church, I think, to do hot chocolate, and they, 300-some cups of hot chocolate or something like that. So.
It was bags of popcorn.
Yeah,
it was a tremendous item. And you're right. I was actually going to mention the Whoopi Waddy, and
I never knew how to say that.
Yeah. Okay. So it was a great event. We had a lot of volunteers from the town, and we had some great sponsorship from you think I would remember the sponsors, Nikki? Could you mention them? Sorry? Civic Federal Credit Union, okay. Who came up and participated by providing a lot of the crafts for the children. There was making cookies, actually decorating cookies, face painting, spinners, and other items, and the biggest hit, of course, was Sean as the Grinch.
And if you didn't see the video when he took over Town Hall, go back and look on their Facebook. Yeah. It's really good. It was
yeah. The Grinch took over Town Hall, took our Christmas tree down and all kinds of stuff. So, of course, some people would say he's still here, I guess. But.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to old business. Can you do discussion of the emergency operations plan?
Yep, so sorry it's not attached to the council. We'll get it added. It's probably because I didn't get it to staff soon enough, but I sent a copy of the base plan. So the plan is broken up into a base plan and annexes. For the citizens, 3 months ago, we submitted the new operations plan, which the county required or asked us to change and modify so that we were in line with the rest of the cities and county emergency management plans. Ours was a little unique, which all the towns were unique. So we, over the summer, we used a consultant to change all the plans so that they integrated better. It's been through the department heads. We put in the changes from the department heads. Tonight I got a second citizen's input, which I'll look at and we'll make it as a modification, but I'm requesting council to approve the base emergency operations plan as presented in your emails, just so that we stay in track with the town, and we'll start training in January with the department heads on here's the new plan. It doesn't change our real actions. What it really does is change how they're written down. So it's not changing what we do, but it's changed how it's documented so that all the towns are documented the same in the county. And when FEMA is involved, how it rolls up to the state and to FEMA is integrated better than how our current plan was, mm-hmm. or current plan is. So I make a motion we approve the base plan as presented, and then we'll do the annexes in January, February.
I'll second.
Okay, so we all had the opportunity to look through that plan. I'm sure the charts, the flow charts are, I thought they were exceptionally good.
Yeah.
As well as that explaining the red, white, yellow.
Right, for information, exactly.
And how you communicate. Of course, the incident command stuff and all that is the same
exactly.
for the rest of us who get engaged in these things. So all in favor of accepting the base plan as presented, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay.
And then
nice
one,
job.
One change, staff will get it printed out. The new plan requires everybody's signatures, not just mine and the mayor. So when you get a chance later this week, and when Mandy pings, you just come by and sign it. And then we can turn it into a PDF form and put it on our website so the citizens have access to it. The draft plan is out there so you can see it if you'd like to now, but the new plan will be out there by January 1st. Is that fair enough, Mandy or Beth, January 1st? So you have to take out the watermark draft and then get everybody to sign it.
Okay.
Do you see additional changes you could afford?
To the annexes.
To the annexes, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, any other questions? There's no other old business on the agenda, so we'll move into new business. 10.1, trails and sidewalk feasibility.
Mr. Mayor, we've been made aware of a grant. The state of North Carolina set aside $2 million for local communities to do feasibility studies for greenways, trails, and sidewalks. And we would qualify for that grant, is what I have requested. Because it goes through the NCDOT website and their login, we have limited people who have access to that. So Arlen, through using Powell Bill money, and then Adrian, our consultant that writes our other grants, is a reason for getting her services to do the grant application. After the initial webinar and discussion, I found out that the state of North Carolina is studying from our current town limits to the south down to through the state museum, Fort Fisher, and the aquarium to connect all the way down to the ferry. So that will be studied also in a separate grant.
that the state will be doing. So that's the stakeholders meeting that I have been asked to attend. It will just be to talk to the all the players involved and see where they are or what concerns they may have. The timing for this is pretty good because if you're going to study something, you should study the entire area. The grant is a zero cost to us. It'd be totally 100% grant, and looking for formal approval to move forward with this.
Does this provide a variety of solutions? Is that what they're after? It's not a single solution.
It's not a single solution. Our bicycle pedestrian plan did pick a single corridor, but this will be a more in-depth and detailed study for the Greenway here. It will follow through public meetings. There will be plenty of opportunity for people to come and talk about their concerns, about what they'd like to see, and then we will, and then they'll put a cost estimate to that, and we'll try to address all the needs and all the concerns. It's a, this is a typical next step in developing a Greenway plan, is doing a feasibility study. It'll give us an actual cost of what it will cost us. So,
is there any hope that this would include using Dow Road?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't, we haven't started the study yet, so I don't know, John. I think we could, that's always, we put that on the table, and then that would be up to Matsu whether they would approve that or not.
Well,
I know, you guys know I ride out there all the time. And it, to me, you know, I don't deal with Matsu that often, although I'm the liaison to this, that organization. To me, it's if they don't want to have bicycles on Dow Road, then they ought to put up a sign and avoid me using the bike lane down Dow Road.
Well, and it may depend on how much right of way NCDOT has out there too. That could be something too. So, but yeah, that's but all, everything's on the table. Nothing's off the table.
Because I don't support the Greenway coming down the back of the houses.
Okay.
And if that's all that that report or this grant is going to look at, then I'm not in favor of this grant.
The grant will be a more in-depth study for the feasibility of the Greenway. And then from that point forward, what we gather from that, we will go to Matsu for a recommendation, asking them for permission. We haven't asked Matsu for permission yet. So we can't really, all the questions Matsu will ask of us will have to be addressed in the feasibility study. Did I say that right? So everything that
if this grant does a feasibility study and we give that to Matsu, they're going to have questions.
Well, hopefully the feasibility study will answer all the questions they have.
Well, I just think I'm like John, right? So I think if one thing is the grant writer and the study should be tailored to what the town wants. And I think the study should be what's the feasibility of it, of the Greenway and Carolina Beach connecting from Spartanburg. In fact, I really think they should connect it all the way back to where it's on the west side, all the way down the west side of Dow Road, so old Dow Road. Because I run down there on Saturdays, and I run in the bike lane or off the bike lane when bikes are coming. And the only place that I don't like is coming back when I have to cross the road right there at Cape Fear. If I could stay on the outside, I would be way happy, but I want to face traffic because I don't trust cars. And so I have to cross the road. So I run up, facing traffic on the west side, get all the way, go under the bridge, come back, and then I have to cross right there at Cape Fear so I can face traffic coming back. And that's the only place I don't like about the whole run, actually, because Dow Road scares me. But
Feasibility study will give us. So.
Well, but I think we can direct them. We want you to study the feasibility of this, right? Because, a couple of citizens said it. I've been on council multiple times and voted against there being a bike path on, behind Sellers Lane at least three times, right? And I think that if we direct the feasibility study, okay, we want you to study on the west side of Dow Road, which is where it naturally makes sense. In fact, it's already paved and you don't have to go over any wetlands. You don't have to put huge stuff in there. That there's the bikers get a great path. It's already cleared, so you're not even killing any trees. You're just putting a 10-foot path or whatever makes sense, right? And there's only one small place where that ditch is, that the ditch that feeds back here goes across.
What washes out all
Yeah, there's one small place on the west side that you have to gap. But everywhere else, I mean, you could level and pretty much pave right now and not cut a single tree down. So I think I'm supportive, but I'm supportive that we guide what we're, the grant is looking at personally. Right.
It all we're doing right now is applying for the grant. We haven't started. We haven't been given the grant. We haven't been getting.
Well, no, but in the application, you say we're. This is what we're looking for. We're looking to connect the two greenways on the west side of Dow Road, and then the state will either approve it or not. But then we're responding to the feedback, and we're saying this is what we're supporting. Carolina Beach won't like it because they think we should do what they did, but. The other thing is, then the fence issue, I think, goes away because it's pretty silly to put that fence there. But if
I think we'll have
if we have to do it with Matsu, you still do it.
My personal opinion is Matsu's, anything we do is going to require a fence.
Well, that's fine. It's on the west side. Yeah. I mean, if the west side catches on fire, we've got a great fire.
It's just like the stuff like the storm drain line back here. It's going to have a
fence. Yeah, I think there might be a fence back there because of the storm drain, but I think the people who have water coming through their houses are going to be okay with that, maybe.
Well, I think they have breaks in the fence, even Carolina Beach. I think the way that fence is constructed is that they can get through sections.
Yeah.
But I'm not positive of that. I feel the same way, but I think that part of the feasibility study probably should at least, it's going to be extraordinarily expensive to put it behind the houses on Settlers Lane if you want to do that. And I think if you can just show the difference and all the reasons why it doesn't make sense to put it there versus putting it on Dow Road, we have a better argument with Matsu. Right, because Matsu is going to come back to us and say, we don't want it on Dow Road, put it behind your houses. And we want to go and say, we can't. Here's the reasons why.
It's not very cheap.
It's not going to be cheap. There's a whole bunch of reasons why. Mm-hmm. And I think the feasibility study should be fairly inclusive.
I agree 100% of it.
But it's got to include Dow Road.
Yeah.
Okay.
But no, we're following the guidelines of the bike ped plan that was approved by council,
right,
is what we're going by. So that's typically in these type things is you do a very general overall bicycle pedestrian plan, and then you start narrowing it down to smaller sections by doing feasibility studies. But we can always do the feasibility study, and if a majority of the people come out and say we would rather have it on Dow Road, then we can take that to Matsu. That's our feasibility.
Right.
And we take it to them. Whether they approve it or not, I can't give you an answer on that.
Right. I'm just trying to say we need as much evidence and as many arguments as possible to say why we should have it on that. And I think just the difference in cost estimate. Like David says, it's simply a matter of paving the path there.
The truth about we don't have a way to do it behind the houses for the moment. We don't have approval beyond the 2,100 feet or so that we have approval for the pipes. And even where we have approval for the pipes, we don't have approval to do anything else with that.
Well, we've not made a request to Matsu at all.
So what I'd like the people to understand is that we've heard this, and we do wish to direct it, and we are going to look at a variety of plans as to what they are. But I think you've heard from council today what our feelings are relative to what can be done. and the costs associated with that. So the question before us is, do we go after the feasibility study, and in that feasibility study, do we make a recommendation on where we would like to see the first priority on this path?
Yeah.
Well, that's where we are, gentlemen, and I need a motion.
I make a motion that we approve the request for the feasibility study with making sure our concerns are known and more than one potential route will be studied. Is that general enough, or do you want more specific?
Does that suffice you, gentlemen?
I'm not seconding the motion, but...
Well, we're waiting for a second.
I'll second that.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Now, all in favor?
So what does that mean? Discussion then, before we vote. So,
all right.
So what does that mean? Our what are we going to actually direct the grant writer?
To apply for a grant for the feasibility study of extending the Highland Greenway. We can leave it very general like that. And that would bring it back out. I mean, it would be our...
I think you have to pass to them.
To extend the Greenway from the Carolina Beach one, it now dumps down what on Spot Lane?
Right.
How do you get that out to down?
You've got to find a way to get it out.
Well, you got to do it on Ocean Boulevard.
Yeah.
You got to do it on Ocean Boulevard, or you got to do it.
Or you cut there by the Watchtower and come
all the way back at the.
You could cut there at Alabama. There's other ways.
Well, that's true. Yeah. You're
there's
right.
other ways, but we have to. We need to look at what those options are.
Yeah. Actually, the water tower would be there's right there by that ditch that cuts. On the other side of Alabama.
I mean, we can just leave it very generic and say a feasibility study for...
Well, I think at least for me to vote for it, it needs to have the pass identified, I think. I mean, you don't need my vote, but I'm just saying...
We don't know where the...
Okay. Well, I think we tell them... Well,
then let me withdraw my motion.
Well, you have a second, so... I mean,
well...
But I'm not sure I understand what we want here.
Well, that's why I wanted to ask.
Right? Yeah, so I'm not sure
for me,
I understand.
For me, I think that we should direct them. Okay, so the feasibility to connect the Greenway from the town of Lemon Security Beach, north and south, avoiding behind Settlers Lane. Because there's multiple ways to get there, right? Because you can do... On the north side, you can do ocean and everything, and then on the south side, you're back to what you're going to do on the south side. And the south citizens are the same way. They want you on the roads of Fifth Street. Mm-hmm. They don't want you in the woods, which we have a stormwater ditch that would be a problem as well back there. And then if you go past there, once you get past Davis Beach Road, you have the same issue all the way down President Davis and all those, right? So...
Yeah,
I think it's connection. Yeah,
has already said we can't come into there.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, the bike lane at E Avenue goes south on Fort Fisher Boulevard. That's where it is right now, and we don't own some of the land, and the base doesn't want people going through.
That's
the
why
base.
We need.
Right.
That's
right.
Why the study will said you
right.
do.
Can't
that,
come over here.
The two problems associated with this are the Matsu property and the base property. I think the state would be obliged to take something from the ferry up along.
They're going
to
build it.
They'll build it
they're
along
gonna,
the
they're
way.
Build
so
it, yeah.
yeah, they're going
to
put it right beside
eat.
The road,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Get which is
to
where
eat.
It is.
Well, they're going
to
go through the existing little section they got right. down by the aquarium and going right. by the state park and down and then.
And then back on the road,
yeah.
right?
Back on the road.
And so, I mean, just like Old Dow Road, just like what Judy said, is the natural place is... following the road where you have the property to do that. I mean, even on Fifth Avenue, once you get past H, Public Works, you could be off the road right there.
Yeah, I mean, we have, what, about 10 feet from the road on
well,
this?
You know,
Jimmy, it's a, do you know we have it 10 is, foot Jimmy? Off the road for our streets. I'm pretty sure that's right. The attorney might have to check that one.
Yeah. Of course. Of
I think
course,
we have a 10 foot right of way.
They may have the same issue that the people on Settlers have.
Well, it's not behind their house.
But I think we have...
No, but it's in front of their house. It's across the street.
First, we have an adopted plan from council. Second, we have a lot of people through the land use plan and through our survey and through the process. I know we have a lot of people that are opposed to it, which I expect that. But there are a lot of people that want it also. So I think we have to be mindful of that also.
To be fair to everybody.
Yes, to be fair, I think from the perspective of everybody would like to see a path, the question is, where does the path go? And we do have, we have a plan that shows four paths.
Yeah.
Right? So our plan shows four paths. One of them happens to be behind the houses, which we have no way of doing because we don't have the property. The fifth plan, as mentioned by Judy, which I thought was a pretty good idea, and David, from his particular view of Run, is the west side. I think there should be that other plan. And then the question is which is the primary plan? And do we have to do work on that before we move forward on this?
No, I think that's part of this feasibility study.
Okay. So I think there's some confusion here. The feasibility study, from the perspective of some of the council people, are that the feasibility is, can we do it on this path? You're saying that the feasibility is, there are five ways to do it. And we don't know which is the best way to do it at this point in time. I'm not sure we may be talking past each other here.
So, I just want to make sure that whatever we vote on, and if we go out and do something different, council doesn't come out and say, this is not what we discussed. I want us to all make sure we understand each other, what we're doing.
Right. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then, right now we have a troubled motion before us. We should close this motion one way or the other. And then, if that motion doesn't pass, we will come up with the next point.
Right.
Yes.
Robert's rules, if you want to withdraw a motion that's before council, the person making the motion requested, if there's an objection to withdrawing and you vote on it, it wouldn't be before council if it hadn't been seconded. So that's the way you want to go.
Okay, so it can be withdrawn. Okay. So that's...
I
withdraw the motion in order to get a better worded motion, is the best way.
Yes.
No objection.
So I think we actually talked past each other a little bit. Who would like to make a more specific motion?
Well, I just want to make clear one thing. Is the concept of putting it off at Settlers Lane is, I think, for many reasons, almost a non-starter, all right? I think cost and Matsu and a whole bunch of things. But my understanding is Matsu has in the past said they don't want it on Dow Road.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
And I think by having a comparison, okay, of maybe it's five different routes, what's going on, we can show that it's really not the only feasible option here. Okay, is Dow Road.
I think
if we get to the point where we're just saying, well, we're only going to propose, why even do a feasibility study at all if we're only going to accept a Dow Road option? Then what we should be doing is going to Matsu now and fighting with Matsu about putting...
I think without the feasibility study, my conversations with them has been... Without the feasibility study, don't come to us without having something.
Right. So a feasibility study, I would assume, would give us some cost estimates of what it would take to put a bike path on Dow Road.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Which, my understanding is, it's going to be a hell of a lot less expensive.
Yeah.
Okay.
That doesn't make
faster and more things. Now, connecting points are going to be an issue. So you got to figure out something where you connect. But otherwise, I think we're going to be in a stalemate with Monster.
All five things in all the plans are feasible.
Yes.
Feasible means equipment, money, time,
Right.
And that type of thing. They're feasible, folks. Now, you can say this one's more feasible because it's less money. Right. But I think they're all, if I, what I know about feasibility studies and setting your parameters, I want it to be so long, so wide, so high, so tall, that type of thing, then they're going to be feasible.
But you got to know how many bridges, you got to know all the details. Do we have to purchase right away? Do we have to get right away? We might not have to. There might be enough right away out there that NCDOT already has.
Right.
So all those things are part of the puzzle.
Right. No, I agree.
We know for a fact that the right away behind the houses is with MATSU, and it's not with NCDOT.
Yeah.
And that's a struggle.
Well, MATSU has not told us no. They've said, bring us something that we can see, and if you're willing to follow the same general plans that Carolina Beach has done, we would look at that favorably. They didn't say we'll approve it. They said they'd look at it favorably if we were willing to follow the same template that Carolina Beach had done. That's the only conversation. And we had that during the bike ped plan process because they were one of our stakeholders.
Okay, so let's think about this.
But we think MATSU is expecting this study to, bring us a study and we will take a look at it. But being a stakeholder with the bike ped committee, I think they're expecting the plan to say Settlers Lane, and then they'll judge it based on.
Well, whether or not they expect that, the fact of the matter is that I think there's a piece of information here. I would like to know what the right-of-way is on the west side that belongs to the state, on the west side of Dow Road. Because talking to the state about extending the bike path from Ocean, because we can always have people come down into our area and take one of the other four off of the existing path now. Right? Because we've added the McAdam path. Drops down into a pile of our streets.
Yeah.
So that's an option. But for an option for the state to go to the end, I think it would be interesting to know what is that right of way. And if we have that right of way, we don't have to deal with MATSU on that issue, then I think we have a solution.
And that'd be part of the feasibility study.
Okay. What they're asking is that be the primary part of the study, I think.
What my position is.
I think it should be part of the study.
Right, fair enough.
And primary, not primary, I can live with saying primary, but we don't need to narrow it down to just Dow Road, I don't think. We need to look at all our options. Because what if MATSU says no to Dow, to their property on Dow Road?
Then
they're going to be driving in the streets. Well, at least two of us say they're going to be driving in Settlers Lane, which is where the pictures of the bikes are supposed to be, all the way down Fifth Avenue. I mean, I'm expecting one to be in front of my house whenever we get around to it, which would be fine.
Well,
that's the way most people go now.
All right, so guys, we need to make a decision on this tonight. The grant application is due January the 9th, and we have to have it in. They got it to us very, very late. I mean, they got it to a lot of people very, very late. So,
I don't have a motion.
I don't either.
I mean, I don't have a motion because I don't, as the mayor, I don't bring forward the motions. So if somebody has a motion, then let's bring it forward. If there is no motion, then we'll let it, I guess we'll let it ride. We're going to miss the opportunity.
It's about a $70,000-$80,000 study.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I mean, I'm supporting this study. Like I said, I think I'm sort of interested in what Dennis said a little bit, that knowing the expensive difference would help us with MATSU. So I'm sensitive to that. But at least for me, clearly, and it sounds like John a little bit, whatever the study says, we're not going to Matsu to ask for a path behind Settlers Lane, at least for my vote and John's, right? So, but it being in there to highlight to Matsu that, okay, down road financially makes sense to us, and why should you care? Because the bikes are there right now. I mean, there might not be one right now, but the fire chief will be running at 3 a.m. down there. So there's bikes and runners down there right now.
Yeah,
right?
Every day.
Yeah, every day. And so I don't know why they would be against doing it that way, right? I don't know that we framed it that way to them. So I can support finding out the differences in costs, because I truly believe it's going to be pretty significant. I mean, the wet issues that you go through back there compared to a right-of-way that's already cleared and almost prepared has got to be huge.
Mm-hmm. And fencing issues?
Well, I think the fencing, I agree with Alan. They're going to make you put a fence wherever you put it.
You put it,
right? So they would love to have Dow Road have fences right now on both sides. They just can't afford it.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. So I think the fence is going to be
And then, as it dated before you on council, anytime we do a lease with them, they're willing to do a reduction in our lease if we put up fencing around the property.
They want everything fenced.
They want everything.
Okay.
They just can't afford it. If they had a bunch of money, there'd be a fence all the way down the buffer zone through Cherry Beach if they had the money. Which is crazy. I mean, as a kid growing up back there, but I sort of understand. I mean, I was in the military too, but
why don't they ask
wacky things?
Okay. It sounds like there aren't three votes for Settlers Lane. So do we want to go after this money, or are we going to let this ride? If we want to go after the money, I need a motion. If we don't want to go after the
money, I'll make a motion that we do we approve doing the feasibility grant application for the grant to investigate the potential greenways through Curry Beach.
To include Dow Road
and
Settlers and surface streets, existing surface streets.
Okay, I'll amend to that.
I'll second that.
Okay, so we have a motion. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, we have one opposed. So there we are. We're going after the money to do the feasibility, to give ourselves ammunition to pick the path we and the citizens want. Okay.
And just a reminder again.
Yes.
Feasibility, whatever we get out of the feasibility, it doesn't mean we have to do any of it.
No.
Right, it doesn't.
All right?
It doesn't.
No. All right, so that's not committing.
We're just not spending money, our own money, to do a study.
To do a study that we might
put it on the shelf.
Anything.
Absolutely. Yes. That's the reason why this is.
I want to make sure everybody understands that.
So, okay. Reschedule the January 16th meeting. Oh, now, this is a tough one. What do you guys want to do in January? The current meeting falls on Martin Luther King holiday, therefore town hall is closed according to the holiday schedule. So we can move it to the 23rd.
I'm out the following week.
So we can actually do it.
Is it 17th?
No. Well, we actually could do it on the Tuesday or 17th.
I mean, it doesn't have to be a midweek before a weekend.
Yes, Councilor?
I yield to Council's supremacy, but I do have a conflict on the 17th.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
We can do it anytime we set it for. I mean,
how about we can do it on Wednesday, the 18th?
18th. I'm here.
Okay. I'm here.
I'll be here.
Can you do it or call in?
I'll try to be here. Hopefully by then I'm good.
I'll be back.
You'll be back. I'll be back. Yeah. Okay, Alan.
Oh, I'm here all the time. So, yeah, no
problem. All right. Okay. So, so we have consensus to move the meeting to January 18th. Counselor, can you make that?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
5:30, because we have a legislative hearing before.
We have the
legislative
hearing at 5:30, and then we'll have the meeting at 6:00. 23rd annual.
You need a formal motion for that?
Yeah, I make a motion that we reschedule the January meeting from Monday the 16th to Wednesday the 18th at 6 p.m. and the legislative hearing to precede at 5:30.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. We need a time. Arlen, do you have a suggestion for the council retreat date based on what's going on with software or anything like that? Do you have a priority?
Not at all, but I would probably suggest, or my opinion would be to kind of stick to what we've done in prior year and maybe the early part of February. I think typically we've been, the last 2 years we've tried to either do a Monday or a Friday, but I think primarily Friday, so I think February 3rd, I believe, would be Friday.
How does February 3rd look for you, gentlemen?
Sorry,
I think that works.
Works for me.
Okay, February. How about for you, Counselor? Well, Counselor, I guess you do come to that. You're okay at February 3rd?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, everybody's okay at February 3rd. So we could have the staff will be here, I believe, for February 3rd. So we can go with February 3rd for the council retreat when we will discuss the priorities on where we want to take the budget. So tell your neighbors. It's an important meeting. Nobody ever comes. But it's a very important meeting, particularly if you want pickleball courts.
What time are we going to start? What time are we start?
We'll start that at 9 o'clock. And go to whenever.
Okay, so I'll make a motion. We do the town council retreat on Friday, February 3rd, beginning at 9 a.m.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Scheduling date time for the special meeting for the Sandman Park. There's another thing that people need to pay attention to. I believe we have a preliminary schedule for January 10th.
January 10th, yes, sir.
January 10th, what time did we discuss to finish?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock?
Yeah, right here.
Friday, January 10th at 6 o'clock.
Tuesday,
January 10th at 6 o'clock. Benish will be here with the, what you would call, the demonstration boards, which would identify all the things that that park could have and the things it couldn't have. So it's important that people come and say, I like that idea, I like that idea, I like that idea. Why can't I do that? Or whatever. So we will have people here to discuss it, explain it, and get ideas maybe that aren't on the boards. So there will be pictures of the types of things that could be in this park. The intent is to keep it a quiet park.
And a quiet view.
What? Yeah.
And we took the survey that we asked the citizens to put forward. We took all those things, and that'll be on a board also. So
yes,
they'll get to see the survey and then examples of what that means.
Yeah, I think you'll be pretty pleased with that opportunity, and then we'll see if there's anything that can make that work.
Is this open to all the council members?
Yeah. Oh yes, absolutely, absolutely. We'll need as many councilmen there as we can, because you'll actually probably see the boards earlier. Because we'll have to answer your questions, and then you can answer the people's questions.
It's a special meeting.
It's a special meeting. Yes.
What time did you say?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. Okay. I think it'll be, if it's done right, I think it could be a nice addition to the amenities that this town has for its citizens for the next 25 years.
Okay, so I'll make a motion that we schedule the special meeting for the Sandman Park project for January 10th, beginning at 6 p.m.
Okay.
That's second. 2023.
Yes, it is.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? All right, you got the date and the time. Okay, now we move on to 10.5. David?
Oh, so we put in the consent agenda. This was a request to add to the fee structure for meter box replacement. So If council remembers, we put in the special meters that have radio, so that Public Works doesn't have to go in your yard and actually open the meter and read it. It actually goes by the truck, which has been a good labor saving. With those came fiberglass meter boxes. The issue with the fiberglass meter boxes is if you park a heavy vehicle over them, they end up getting broken.
Okay.
And then they have to be replaced. So we've got different meter boxes, DOT rated meter boxes that we're replacing them with. But for the people that didn't drive over theirs, they shouldn't have to pay for the people that did drive over theirs in the right of way. And that's why staff is recommending to add this in the fee structure. So if you haven't driven over yours, you don't pay this. But if you have driven over and parked heavy vehicles on the meter box, then to replace it, you'll pay for it.
What is the cost of the meter box?
I think $150 is what we, that's the cost. We're not trying to make money at it. Yeah. We're just trying to make sure your neighbors aren't paying for the issue.
Okay.
Right.
And the reason I actually took it out was because it was said for all 22 and 23 and everything's in there that could possibly change in our parking and everything else. So
okay.
That's why I took
the only recommendation from Public Works is for this one issue to add.
Right.
So
okay.
It probably should have been highlighted in red or something, but it's only
yeah, it was getting a little confusing because I didn't really know what was being
changed. So sorry about that.
So
I should have done a better job communicating. I apologize.
Well, that's quite all right.
To council.
If that's the only thing you missed, you're in good shape.
I don't know about that. But anyway, so that's the request. And if there's no more discussion, I'll make a motion that we approve adding a fee for meter box replacement to the fee structure.
I think it's logical.
Second. Do I have a second? Okay.
No time, sir.
All in favor of the $150 charge for the replacement of individuals who happen to
with a DOT rated, so they shouldn't have to do it again.
Yeah, okay.
That was part of the requirement, right? If
okay.
If these don't hold up, then we'll talk about a different issue. We're not going to keep hitting people, right?
Okay, so all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay.
Just a side note, David, out here where we had to leave the side of the building open for AT&T folks to get to the back.
Yeah.
I don't know how many boxes we replaced over there, but we finally got something that would hold up the traffic driving on.
Yeah.
It is a problem.
Okay. So, mayor updates, I think we have had enough going on. So, I don't have anything to add to the evening. Commissioners, Commissioner Ellen, any inputs?
Just real quick, you know, I mentioned during the presentation about the water depth gauge sensor that we have.
Yeah.
I got a note from Dr. Elko that they have made a change to their software and a change to the capability, and at no charge to us, we're going to get another one.
Oh, okay.
We can go out and install that will do better, less gaps, more technology. But it's not, I'm not asking permission to get it because it's going to cost us.
Yeah.
They will send it to me and we can install it.
Well, you bought the first one, John. I was thinking maybe you'd buy the next one. So, Alan?
No, everything.
No, nothing to add. How about you, Commissioner Hagler?
Nope. No, sir.
Commissioner Panicali? No. Okay. Then we can move to the closed session. I'll accept the motion and move to closed session.
I make a motion to go into closed session per attorney-client privilege, General Statutes 143-318.11A3.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.